What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here. Lord, we are here. And we're ready. To podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week, we give our mega church a tiny family feel. We introduce you to members of our church staff and our community. I do believe it is a true treat, and it is a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas.
JC in the hizzy, Helltown down, Hallie. How are you?
Oh, so cool. I am blessed, blessed, blessed. How are you? How was your week with your Climax kids, Gray?
Unbelievable weekend with my teens who are coming to Climax. This week we tried this really cool thing called a Lola Prayer Loser.
Awesome.
It's a 24-hour prayer-a-thon. And the way we did it, we just set it up with a huge pipe and drape stage out on the lawn, and we just invited hundreds of teens to come up and perform a prayer for each other.
Oh, like an outdoor music show, but better.
I know. Yeah, you take the music out of it and you just add the best part, which is usually, you know, the talking in between songs. And in this case, it's prayer. And, you know, if you could really sell a prayer, Hallie, make it entertaining, make it slap, as we say in Climax,
cool.
You're really going to inspire a lot of confidence in people who have, you know, who are sitting there having to listen to it.
That sounds awesome.
It was. You know, we only had one issue about 4 hours into the prayer-a-thon. You know, the energy was kind of starting to flag because that is a lot of talking. And one of the teens, and I hate to name names, but her name was Jen Tasklin Moronsky. She got up and she just said, you know, God, we're so tired. If you could just send rain right now and rain down upon us and even lightning so that we might head inside and eat snacks. And, you know, Hallie, wouldn't you know it, a thunderstorm rolled in and we had to actually all go inside.
Oh, no.
So, you know, that was a bit disappointing, but I couldn't have been upset because really she just proved my point that prayer works, which is awesome.
The power of prayer. It's
That's
real.
That's right. And yeah, I guess, you know, in my personal life, I'm not sure if I've mentioned him before, but my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I have decided to invest in a duplex together, which is really cool.
Yeah. Wait, I didn't know you and Clay Mason Bannerman were still speaking to each other.
Oh, yeah, Hallie, we're fine. He's like one of my closest friends. I'm not sure.
No kidding.
Yeah, I guess there was some point where we had a bit of a mix-up, but we've got everything figured out. So we bought a duplex. You know, we're gonna rent it out. And I actually have been I've been staying in one side of the duplex because I just really wanted to feel like what it was to rent this place when we go to put it on the market, which will be cool.
That's smart.
Yeah, and then you know, it was kind of weird. Talk about a weird thing happening. Clay had a fire at his place.
Oh no!
And because this meat smoker caught on fire and made, you know, half his home smell like smoke and swine, and so he moved into the other side of the duplex while he gets that all cleaned up.
That's nice, your neighbors.
Yeah, it's really crazy that even happened. So it's really chill with just broing down and having a great time in a new duplex.
Wow, well, that sounds like a true answer to prayer.
What do you mean?
Nothing.
How was your weekend, Hallie?
Oh, I have had a bit of a to-do, to be totally honest with you.
Oh, no.
I started this new thing for women of faith, and I call it Belief Women. And I put it online, and I said, hashtag Belief Women.
Oh, cool.
For all of us women of faith.
Totally.
Well, it must have gone viral because we are getting pounded by this other hashtag thing that says not all men, hashtag not all men.
Oh, well, that stinks that you're getting pounded over that.
I know. I don't deserve a pounding.
Yeah, no one does.
So anyway, I just want all you hashtag not all men out there to know that us Belief Women, we're not against you. We're with you. I'll tell you that right now. I think hashtag all men.
Amen.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
All trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is... Whoa! Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just like Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats on Judgment Day, our guest today judges not sheep and goats, but tables and pies. Let's get into it, ladies and gentlemen. It is Miss Callie Mavis.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. Oh. At last, can I say.
I know, we've been waiting to get you.
Well, Callie, tell us a little bit about what's going on, because I'm seeing all the tents getting set up out across the lawn here at Twin Hills. And, you know, basically the fair is in the air, as I like to say. I sort of just made that up. But tell us a little bit about what is going on out on the lawn.
Oh, my. I mean, it's I never thought my favorite time of year could get even better. And it just... It reminds me that he shows you new ways every day of how wonderful things. Yes, but as some people may know me, some people may be angry at me. I, of course, judged county fairs in this for a couple of decades and the state fair for the past 5 years.
Oh,
and
wow.
I think you know about the controversy that happened at the last state fair we had before they shut it down for a fake disease.
That's right.
And I've just been so delighted that Twin Hills made me an offer to judge the Twin Hills Fair this year, and I could not be happier. It's a match, maybe not made in heaven, but certainly made in pie.
Oh, that is
which pie can be heaven. I'm a pie person. I'm pie over cake every day.
Oh, now see, you're my kind of lady. I knew that.
Yes. I don't really eat sugar. But yeah, tell us a little bit about what is going on. Because, you know, in Australia, we don't really have fairs. Sometimes we'll have just, you know, a bunch of the kind of Australian rednecks, kind of dingo lads. You know, they pull up their trucks, they let out the animals, and somebody goes around and gives them all ribbons. Ooh. But what you're saying is this is a full production of a fair, and we've got all sorts of events, and you are actually judging the pies and then in tables, which I don't really understand.
Oh, tablescaping. Okay. There is another woodworking judge, and Cleet has years of woodworking experience, and I think he's in better hands there. So on top of the tables every year, and this is a straight pull from county fair traditions, but I think it's a good one. Tablescaping is about, we give a theme, and it's about welcoming people into your home with the perfect table. So you think of a menu that you'll put not on the table, but a menu card. And then how do you decorate beautifully? What kind of flowers? If you put in flowers, some people get very creative.
Uh-huh.
And I've been, I got to say, I'm releasing anger over it still. Because I had been judging, as you know, the state fair for the last 5 years, tablescaping. And we had, see if you can spot these themes. We had themes of Alice in Wonderland.
Ooh.
And then they had Under the Sea.
Awesome.
And they had... Route 66.
Awesome.
And then I said, where in all of this is Jesus?
Right.
You know, we had all these themes and I said, can we have a side entry and they wouldn't put in themes of faith. And then, the last year of my judging, I don't even want to say it, Harry Potter. That was the theme. The theme was Harry Potter.
What?
So children who are just getting into fairs and are learning about competition, they're thinking about wizards and robes and invisibility. And I just thought I'm not going to do it. And it was, I got to say, a miraculous moment when I got the offer from Twin Hills saying, would you have time in your schedule to judge? And I said, do I ever?
That's so exciting. And I'll tell you what, it just really chafes me to no end the way Christians get treated in our liberal society. I mean, you got the 4-H at the fair, seems kind of wholesome, you know, fine. Health, happiness, hide nor hair. I don't know what the 4-H's are. Do you know what the 4-H's stand for?
I mean, it might as well be heathens, 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 heathens from what I have seen.
See, thank you. Because if you can have a theme of Harry Potter for tablescaping, here you're just putting down what? You're putting down placemats, maybe some flowers, you're putting down some saucers and mugs and some silverware and whatnot, and you want to get into all the dark arts and magic. Well, think about all the things you could draw from the Bible. You could have, you know, the Israelites going around the city of Jericho.
Exactly.
If you are into fair type stuff like animals, when the Israelites ran into Jericho, well, the first thing they did after killing all the women and children and maybe raping some of them was that they killed all the livestock. So that's like very state fair right there.
And tell me they didn't pick out some of that dead livestock and say, hey, I've got a bigger one than you. Hey, this one has been raised well. Hey, this one is a fine specimen. Of course they did before eating them or burning them. Of course they did.
That is fascinating. And so how did the whole thing go down? Did you actually end up judging a bit harder those ones from your final year at the fair because you didn't really like them? Or were you still able to keep your, you know, what do they call it? Neutrality.
Well, here's the thing. My principle is I took a couple books in the Bible. Judges with Ruth is what I think. So I'm a judge, but I'm not ruthless.
Awesome.
That is clever.
Awesome.
But for tablescaping, it's about hitting the theme, sure, but it is about fundamentally, is this an appealing dinner? Mm. Is this a dinner where you would bring a guest and they would say, my goodness, what a lovely time, or what a lovely, even a date, even mm-hmm. a lovely date for mm-hmm. the singles group? And I thought, could I sit down at this Harry Potter dinner mm-hmm. and enjoy it mm-hmm. and really even like it and not feel frightened as a Christian and sick to my stomach, and you're serving me hot cocoa in a muggle? What does that even mean?
Right.
So people were mad, but I had to take off points. Okay. Is that, as you say, it's pure discrimination. Is this a place where I could sit down and feel comfortable and enjoy a meal? And it was not.
Well, I love that because, you know, it's not discrimination if you are discriminating. And I love to say that. And I also love to say, you know, if someone's discriminating against you, it's okay to discriminate right back against them. Because, you know, unfortunately, in this case, I really do think that, you know, you've got the power to really show them what the truth is. And the truth is, hey, we don't want any of that sick stuff at a table.
Yeah. I'm very proud of you, Kelly, for standing up for your beliefs, even in the face of these powerful organizations like county fairs.
I cannot tell you how much it helps. I went through some dark times, I have to say.
Oh,
but
really?
You know what? If I say, okay, I'm going to witness for him everywhere in my life except at the county fair, what am I doing?
Uh-huh.
If I'm going to witness for him everywhere except where children are involved, what am I doing?
Right.
Exactly. And what did you do between the time you left the county fair, the state fair rather, and now?
You know, everyone thinks they can judge a pie now. They've seen a show and they can judge a pie. I did some freelance judging.
Oh, really?
And again, you have to think about, so many judges look at the outside of the pie. I'm like, what's inside of a pie?
Mm-hmm.
Is this pie made for the pleasure of God or for the pleasure of the flesh?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's a tough call. So I did some freelance, but a lot of it is, you know, my second love is Sasquatch hunting.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
And so I did, it opened up a lot of time and space for me to spend some time in the woods and really get meditative and think about nature and the beauty of the world and whether there was a 9-foot being right behind me.
Oh, wow. And was there?
You know, like someone else we know, Sasquatch leaves evidence in mysterious ways. And sometimes it's about a feeling. Sometimes it's about faith. Sometimes it's about knowing something it was there, even though you couldn't see it. So, you know, and again, it's sometimes it's about one set of footprints sometimes, isn't it?
See, isn't that awesome? And I'm sure hunting a Sasquatch is an awful lot like hunting for truffles. You can't see them, but you know they're there.
And sometimes it's a rustle behind me. Sure, it might have been a deer. Or that might have been a screech owl that were the eyes I saw way up high. But is it about what I can see and feel, or is it about what I know?
Awesome.
And it was really good training for renewing my faith.
Oh,
you know, I hate to get too deep into this, but I guess I've got to ask. So just backing up. So when you're freelancing judging someone's pies, is that just kind of going into a restaurant and saying, okay, I'm going to order the pie and then kind of giving some feedback on it? Or are you actually being paid to do this?
A little of both.
Okay.
I mean, certainly one way to market yourself is to go into a restaurant and really, really dig into that pie and say, here's what you could have done. Why did you put a steam vent with a bird there when a lattice work would have served you better? Why cut that beautiful rhubarb with strawberry? Why not let the rhubarb stand on its own? And you get a little attention in a diner or in a restaurant or, you know, sometimes at an Olive Garden. People are like, hey, who are you? What do you know? And that's when you have a business card on you, because it's about being always prepared,
awesome.
always ready to judge, I think is how everyone should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know we say, judge not lest you be judged.
Sure.
But you and I have talked about this. I think sometimes I believe the Bible was originally in English and then translated into Greek and Aramaic and then back into English. And sometimes people lose things. So I think it might have been judge well, because we all get judged. Doesn't that make a little more sense?
Isn't that
sort of
right?
Like lost in translation there.
Wow,
exactly.
That really rings my bell, Callie. I like it.
And then I guess my follow-up question is, when you're in these, you know, sort of chain restaurants, giving them feedback on their pies and handing out your card, is that also when you're giving some of your theories and thoughts on Sasquatch, or is that something that you keep to yourself and maybe should?
It is a real judgment call, because I have to say, You have to, I mean, if you see the opportunity, bring Sasquatch into it, but sometimes it can muddy the waters. Or sometimes, I did notice once or twice, I had people sold on, let's have a competition this weekend and I can judge, and then I bring in Sasquatch and suddenly, you know, like so many people, when you bring up what you believe in, enthusiasm can wane for people who aren't, who are on the other side. And you do what you can. I have to say, my favorite year was when we did, no, I don't like the term Bigfoot, because Sasquatch is scientific.
Oh, are they different?
But there's an overlap. But Bigfoot is what you say if you're casual about it. Sasquatch is, I know that this is an American phenomenon.
Oh.
And but they had Big Feet and Big Pies Festival. And I have to say, it was like a duck to water.
Wow. Now, just a technical question about Sasquatch is, now, do you believe that this Sasquatch is also created by God, our creator, and is just a little shy and doesn't want any attention?
Well, believe me, I wrestled with this. We know that Esau was hairy all over. So I know that Sasquatch is the Bible, but not tall. And we know that giants walked the earth at one time. So I'm saying there was something went on there. And I got to say, what I wrestled with the longest was Sasquatches on the ark, because they are 7 to 9 feet tall. But people in the olden days, 6,000 years ago, they were maybe 5 feet tall, or maybe not even that.
Is that right?
So think about it. If you are a Sasquatch and you come walking two up with Mrs. Sasquatch
into Noah's ark
that is built for people who are 5 feet tall, I don't know if they would have stayed. So I think maybe they clung to the back of the ark. They've got very strong hands and feet.
Oh.
So that's why I think maybe that welcome, because how could Noah know? It wouldn't be his fault.
Uh-huh.
But maybe that hey, we're maybe not welcome here has kind of stayed with them, where they tried to get on the ark.
Uh-huh.
They banged their big old furry heads.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe they swam alongside, or they clung to the back, or maybe there was a dinghy. I don't know. But then you could see where they would become very shy and maybe, you know, maybe a little grumpy.
Well, sure. I mean, being in a rainstorm for 40 days and 40 nights.
And with hair, you know what it's like when your long hair gets all wet.
Yeah.
And they're known for being, I got to be honest, they are known for having a stench to them.
Oh, is that
you know,
right?
Some people say almost a death stench, real stinky. In Florida, they're called skunk apes.
Wow.
And of course, in Indy, we have dune apes.
Wow.
But I think that stinkiness is because Sasquatch has said, we are done with water.
Uh-huh.
We had 40 days in a row of being up to our necks.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, you know, I would love to know more about this maybe another time. But, you know, one of my biggest questions, I guess, about all that is, what are some of the table settings and some of the pies that you're most looking forward to at the Twin Hills Fair, which is just such a great opportunity for people to come together and learn more about, you know, Christ, Jesus specifically, and probably not a whole lot about the kind of the other stuff that we mentioned about Bigfoot?
Probably not, but you never know where they'll come in. I'm very excited because, of course, this year's theme is bread from heaven.
Yes.
So it is, and I've talked to, there's of course a kids entry and there's an adults entry, and I have been trying to look at the kids and give them guidance, because a lot of them have never even been allowed to go to a county fair, and you never know where funnel cakes are going to lead, frankly. I think that's a good decision.
Oh, awesome.
But some people have been doing a completely modern setting of Bread from Heaven and what's it like, and some people have been like, what would it like if I were wandering in the desert and bread came down from heaven, how would I set a beautiful place setting there? And it's just been a remarkable creativity of reed mats. And I got to say, I don't know if they had coconuts, but believe me, those are in play. And it's just, it does my heart good to see the preliminary. Of course, I can't judge right away, but the preliminary settings, I think, are going to be very exciting.
Well, I noticed that. And so I guess I'm curious, because I noticed they sort of built that scaffolding, and some of the funnel cake makers were up on top of that. Do they plan on tossing some of the funnel cakes maybe off of that as something for Bread from Heaven as well? Or what is, it seems a bit dangerous to have oil up that high, but...
You're one step ahead of me. That's a little bit of a surprise. So maybe, I don't know if we should edit this now, but yeah, you know, I don't know if you've seen a funnel cake, but they're beautifully drizzled and yes, quite hot. And then some powdered sugar. And people thought, why not surprise people walking around a fair? And you can't, you know, it can get so hot in the fair. And sometimes you're like, I don't even see the lemonade stand. I don't know where I'm going to be. Funnel cake lands right in your hands. How amazing would that be?
I just hope it's not too hot. But yeah, I think that'd be great.
That. I think it'll cool nicely in the air. I don't know. You know, if God solved the problem of dropping funnel cakes from the sky, so can we, right?
Yeah.
And here you're walking around the huge fairgrounds here on campus. I'm getting all my steps in. I deserve a cake.
Exactly. Moderation,
see?
Right?
Oh.
You get a lot of steps in. I'm very excited about it. I got to say, there's a water slide.
Awesome.
That's going to be huge. And if people are moved at the wave pool at the bottom, go for it. I say join the church. It's the perfect time. So we got robes ready if people want to do that, or you can just enjoy the water slide.
Spontaneous baptism?
I think so.
Wow, that's awesome. That is so awesome. Now, you said something earlier about how, you know, you can't just judge a pie by its crust or its lattice work. You got to get to the inside. Very biblical, because God says man looks at the outside, God looks at our hearts. Almost like we're like a pie to God, you know?
We are a pie to God. That's such a beautiful way of putting it. I love that.
And he's going to judge us, you know, very harshly on Judgment Day. And speaking of judgment, and I feel like you and I are friends, and I can ask you a personal question.
Oh, please do.
And please tell me the truth. I'm not good in the kitchen. It's an art form. It's not my art form. But man, oh man, have I fallen in love with the Marie Callender's Razzleberry Pie you can get in the frozen section at the grocery. And it is a downright good pie. And it always pleases people. And I think it's so good. You really do have to let it cool, or it'll come out like it's a liquid, you know, but when you cut it open. But is it okay? I, not being a pie expert like you are, is it okay for me to go for a Marie Callender's from the grocery?
I say absolutely. If you said to me, choose between two people to go to dessert at their home, someone who's going to sincerely offer you a Marie Callender's because she's thinking about your enjoyment, or someone who's going to do flashy razzle dazzle something French or a savory pie or some fancy stacked up crust.
Gross.
Right. But they're exactly. Is it, you know, you're thinking of your guests and your skill sets and what you're good at and where you shine. So why not have that Marie Callender pie? Oh, I think it's fine.
What a relief.
It's good for the economy to buy it. If you want to make the project of getting better and better at pies, that's a wonderful life lesson. But it's also maybe I think it's fine. You're thinking about your guests, and it's a gift from your heart.
Awesome.
And it's not some showy. I mean, can you imagine going to someone's house and they.
Oh, it's okay. Here's a Kleenex.
Is everything all right? I have no idea.
Here's
what
a box of Kleenex.
Thank you. People here, they have a bacon judge coming, and they will put out something foreign like a flan more often than you would ever believe.
Oh, a flan. Oh, no.
I'm not sure what's upsetting.
Do you have flan in Australia, Greg?
I don't even know any of those words that you're saying, Hallie.
It's like sugared oysters and phlegm is what I would say. It's a fancy, and you get out a little blowtorch to bake the sugar on top, and you have to... It's just something that says, and it says, I care more about impressing you than I care about feeding you is what you get when you get a flan.
Okay.
And breaks my heart. Uh-huh. And some people will do it as out of a misplaced gesture, but I say a down home pie is good. And let me tell you something. I don't mean to get on my high horse about this, but if you have to pie a la mode, if you like it, that's great. But if the ice cream is doing the work, you got to relook at that pie.
Okay.
And sometimes people have been like, oh, it's pie a la mode. It goes best with a fudge ripple ice cream. What are you even doing?
What are you hiding, pie? What are you hiding?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
The pie should speak for itself. And I say, like, it's like the little drummer boy. Sometimes a simple offering from the heart is what's going to make people happy.
I just never realized the depth and the nuance that is going into this judging of pies and tables. It's really fascinating. And, you know, I did want to ask about your personal life, because I did notice you're wearing a ring. And is that a set of footprints on it? Is that you and your husband something, your footprints on the ring?
It's a promise ring.
Awesome.
Okay. I'm very excited. I have to be honest, it's a little late in life and something I thought might not happen. But I was out squatching in the woods a couple years ago, and this lovely man was out squatching in the woods. And of course, you know, if you're alone in the woods, you think, oh no, you know, Daniel in the lion's den, but a lovely man. And the minute I saw that he was wearing a big wooden cross, you know, we got to talking. So, we don't live in the same state. We're working that out right now. And of course I can't leave counties with fairs.
That's right.
But, yeah, we meet in the woods. We have separate tents, of course, usually with a chaperone with us, but it's, we've decided that if we're ever out together and Sasquatch is there, that's our sign. That's our time.
Okay.
Awesome.
Make it official.
I think by the Sasquatches hanging on to the outside of the Ark, not only proved their incredible strength and tenacity, but also they might have been saving themselves a world of trouble, because inside that Ark, you got pterodactyls and you got bunny rabbits. You've got French bulldogs and you've got Yorkshire terriers. They're all these different species in there. It was probably chaos. And if the Sasquatch likes it quiet, quiet. Might have done themselves a favor.
You know, I never thought about it that way, and I feel so much better about their voyage now, because I had always thought of it as a lonely thing, but you're right. They don't get along well with dogs, and that's not a, you know, I don't know why that is. It's just an interspecies thing that dogs will bark and a Sasquatch will throw a rock or something. Maybe that's why. And maybe that's what's kept us apart. But maybe it's one of the little clues that we should be a little more together.
Yeah. And you know what? I wonder if when Adam was in the garden naming all the animals, one of the first passages in the Bible, Adam is going, I'm going to name you a saber-toothed tiger. I'm going to name you an English wolfhound, which is funny, you know, that this is a God thing that he would know what England was at that point in the Fertile Crescent is so cool.
But that does confirm my idea that the Bible was in English first, don't you think?
See, there you go right there. Hey. See, that's so cool. I wonder when Adam came to the Sasquatch, what, you know, that moment was like. Did they make eye contact? Was Adam intimidated by the size? And you know, what did he call him? Did he call Bigfoot? You know, I don't know.
Here's the thing. I bet Bigfoot was the first thing out of his mouth. And then he said, oh my goodness, how rude. Sasquatch. Uh-huh. Okay. And, you know, because we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
We do.
Right. Yeah.
Until Judgment Day, we're all going to make mistakes. But I wish I could have been there.
Right?
Can you imagine?
I know. That's so cool. We'll have to ask when we get to heaven.
That is cool. I guess this guy sort of answers my question. So you do believe that the Sasquatch was one that was in the garden with Adam and they were okay with each other and friends and everything, I guess?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that is something I ponder over because we do know they had trees there.
Right.
We do know that Adam named everything. So they would have had to see each other at least one time.
Mm-hmm.
But did Sasquatch stay in the trees? Or is that, you know, are the Sasquatches the ones that never took a bite?
Interesting.
Because they are naked.
Oh, but the fur kind of covers the inappropriate parts, right?
It does. That's true. That is the advantage of being a Sasquatch. Although less so with the lady Sasquatch.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
And I shouldn't even bring us there. But yeah, you can tell it's a lady Sasquatch.
Like, because do they have stuff on their chest the same way women do in National Geographic magazines type of thing?
They do, yes. That
really?
Type of thing. And there's well, yeah, they're lady animals. So.
Wow.
And have you seen a photo of this?
Well, I've seen the footage of the Patterson film, which is only a few minutes long, but changed my life, I gotta say.
Wow.
And then stills of that. So yeah, sure, I've seen pictures. And it's like everything else, you have to judge. Is this plaster cast of a foot that's 18 inches long, something I believe in, or is it something that I judge?
Uh-huh.
Maybe the Henderson boy was messing with me again.
Okay.
And that's not really what walked through my garden.
Yeah, I guess I've never heard of that. You know, what is that? I guess I'm afraid to ask.
Well, it's again, I think you should show it to your youth group is what I think,
okay.
Because it is, here's what you've seen. Can you trust it? Here's what you've seen.
Oh.
Do you believe this in your heart? Mm-hmm. Because that was, I got to say, it was a moment of opening up for me when I first saw it. And it made me, there's so many analogies between Sasquatch and Jesus. I can't even tell you. I can't even begin.
Really?
Long hair on down,
wow.
You know?
Wow. Well, you were primed, honestly, Callie, to become a Sasquatcher because, you know, we're faith-based people. We're not evidence-based people. We're faith-based people.
Exactly. We know how much evidence it can lead you astray is what evidence can do. Sometimes you think, okay, I'm building a case here, but actually sometimes evidence is taking you away from what your heart knows to be true. So, yeah, the Patterson film, you'll see a Sasquatch walking away and looking at a person. And sure, you can say, hey, why did that guy happen to have his camera with him? Why did his camera out? Why did a Sasquatch walk along, you know, this desert, this desolate part of the forest just while they were out looking for Sasquatches? Or you can say, look at that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. And here's the thing. If you were faking a Sasquatch movie that you wanted to be shown all over, would you fake it with a lady Sasquatch with, as you say, a difficult part of the anatomy showing through the fur? Or would you have a man Sasquatch who could be holding a rock or a bunch of flowers or anything in front of anything controversial?
Wow.
And I say right there, you have to look a little bit beyond sometimes.
Yeah, that is a pretty insightful follow-up question. If you met Sasquatch, what would you tell him about Jesus?
Oh my gosh.
And do you even think a Sasquatch could be saved?
Oh, good question.
That is such a good question. I got to say, you broke my mind open a little bit because shame on me because I'd been thinking of so much about like I would like to see Sasquatch and I would like to make contact. I didn't think about, of course, the next thing you would do is witness to Sasquatch.
Right.
The next thing you would do is you would say, have you met Jesus?
Uh-huh.
And if not, would you like to?
Yeah.
Right.
And there would be a language barrier, I think. But if you're persistent, I mean, who doesn't love it?
Right. Because he might think that you're trying to kill him or something if you say, like, dude, would you like to meet him or something?
Right. That's a very good point. I will have to watch my words. I will have to judge my words carefully is what I'm going to have to do.
And I'll tell you, then the second thing you do after you witness to a Sasquatch is... you got to get them covered up. You know, let's get the gal a brassiere of sorts. Let's, you know, in the same way Adam and Eve realized they were naked, we got to get their inappropriate parts covered. So maybe you should, when you go out there hunting, you should start bringing some Joanne fabric with you. You know what I mean?
I am going to go to the quilters and we're going to get some loincloths made is what we're going to do. Number one, know Jesus. Number two, know your shame. Number three, here's a quilt.
And if I may go so far as to say that as a judge, you know, judges and sailboat captains can marry people as well as ordained ministers. As a judge, you might need to get your license so that you can marry people, because the other thing you need to do immediately is you need to get this man and woman Sasquatch, you need to get them married so that their relationship honors God in case they're, you know, having any relations outside of marriage. You know what I mean?
What if it is a vicious cycle where they cannot reveal themselves to us because they are living in sin, but they're living in sin because we can't get to them to marry them properly, so they can't reveal?
See?
I mean, this could have been going on for 5,000 years.
See?
6,000. Yeah.
See?
You're so right.
See? And it's the same thing. Like, you know, evidence, if we go back to evidence, evidence tells us that, you know, sex education reduces unwanted pregnancies. But guess what?
At what cost?
Exactly. But what sex education doesn't do is get these kids to be abstinent, which is the only way. So see, sometimes evidence is actually counterproductive.
That's, don't ever come to me with a page of statistics, because it's about what do I feel is right.
See, and you know who's making you feel that? The Holy Spirit. So
there you go. Yeah. If you take time in the woods and you really commune, I haven't seen Sasquatch yet, but I've seen the Holy Spirit a bunch of times in my heart, and that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, this is so great. It's been amazing to talk to you. I'm sorry that we got so distracted a bit by the Sasquatch stuff, but I am really excited about, you know, just this wholesome weekend that we have planned for our families here at the church. Where can we find you this weekend? Where will you be set up with your pies and your tablescaping and all that, and what can we look forward to?
I'm going to be busy. I'm judging kids, teens, and adults, pies and tablescaping, so that's a busy couple of days, but I am happy to talk to anybody. You'll see me with my head judge badge, and you will see me moving around. And if you see me and you have a question, or you want to enter next year, or you want to know about this year, just tug on my shirt, you know. And I would say tap me on the shoulder, because a tug is what I expect from Sasquatch when he reveals himself. So I might, sometimes I just jump in the air because I think this is it. But yeah, give me a tap on the shoulder. I'm happy to talk to you. So anytime you eat a baked good, you're it's such a potent metaphor for the Holy Spirit that I think it's a little bit of worship every time you slice in.
Oh, isn't that a God thing?
That is beautiful.
You're like the Christian Mary Berry.
Oh, thank you. You know, Mary Berry likes a drink, and I will just leave it at that.
Callie Mavis was played by the outstanding Allie Davis. What an absolute gem. Follow her on Twitter at Allie_Davis and check out her book, True Porn Clerk Stories. I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.